We begin the current daf in Masechta Yevamah, it's daf Ayin Vav. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. Later we had been discussing regarding Betsua Daka or Krei Shafcha, someone that was mutilated or some type of wound by his member. So in that we said that one of the psulim is that of Nikiv. If it was pierced, then that creates a psul regarding his ability to father children, and hence he's considered like a Krei Shafcha. Nothing more qualifies certain details of this halacha. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Nikiv, if a man develops a small hole, but v'nistam, then it got closed up. Now, it's not recognizable, that hole anymore. So what we do is we analyze and we see if it's that big, kol she'ilu nikri v'nikra, if it would happen that the person would have keri, if the person would have a seminal emission, and then the hole would expand due to the pressure of the semen that's gathering and coming out, and then it would tear open, then puzzle. That would make him puzzle, would make him into a Krei Shafcha. But vilav, kosher. But if not, if it's not that big of a hole, and now that it's closed up, even if the semen would gather at the surface, it wouldn't rip it open, so then he's not a Krei Shafcha, and he would be valid, lavi b'kal. Now, havi b'rava, Rava asked, now, Heicha, where exactly are we talking about that it was pierced to say that this halacha would apply? So he says, Ilei melamata me'atara, if you're going to say it's below that Tara, you can't say that because afalem nechres nami, as we explained in the Mishnah, that even if it totally gets cut off, it's okay because that's just flesh. It's not part of the elements that are there that affect fertility, that affect the ability to create a child. And therefore, that can't be what we're talking about, that nikra, that if it developed a nick of a hole, and then it would be a problem if it would tear. So, Ella batar atzma, must be that this halacha that we're defining over here is talking about in the atar itself, in that raised border part. In other words, there's three contiguous parts on the male member. There's below the atar, which definitely cannot be talking about because it could totally be cut off. Then there's above the atar, what's called a mala, meaning towards the top of the member, closer to the person's body, you can't say that it's talking about there either, because there it's definitely not going to tear. And the reason is because the semen only pushes and presses near the hole where it exits from, and it's not all the way up there, and therefore it can't be there. It must be, it's talking about in the atar itself, in the corona, that area, if it develops a hole, and then it closes up, it would depend on the size of the hole, if the semen would gather and push out. If it's that small, then the hole would stay closed, then he's kosher. If it's bigger, that it would rip, then he's going to be considered puzzle. Et Menami similarly learned that Amrav Mori Bar Mar Amar Mar Ugva Amar Shmuel, Nikabat Tara Atzmo, which again, as we explained, that's the qualification of the case. If it develops a hole in the crown itself, Venistum, and then it gets closed up, so Kol She'ilo Nikri V'Nikra Puzzle. If it's that big that if he would have a seminal emission, and then it would tear, then he's pasul. V'ilav kasher, but if not, then he's going to be kasher. Now, related to this halacha, sholach le'rava b'rei d'rab l'Rav Yosef, he sent to Rav Yosef, yilamdeinu rabbeinu, let our teacher teach us. Heichav dinan, how do we do this? In other words, so that's the halacha. That's halacha criteria. When someone wants to get married, and we know he has this issue, so how do we figure out what to do? In other words, how do we create a situation that is going to have a seminal emission that we can check and see if it's going to tear or not, to see if he's kosher or not? We know he has this issue. Now he can't get married, someone in the kehillah. So we have to check. How do we go ahead and do this? So Rav Yosef told him, he said, Meisina nahama chamime desari. We bring warm barley bread, umanchinon le abe pokre, and we put it by his anus, we put it by in the rear where that's going to heat it up, which that's near the back of the male member. And that warmth is going to cause him to have a seminal emission, and then we'll be able to see when it's going to be gathering the zera to see if it's going to rip it or not, and then we'll know if he's kosher lav b'kal or not. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye said to this response of Rav Yosef, he says, wait a second. Atakula Amar Yaakov Avinu Havi? You think everybody's so great like Yaakov Avinu? Dechsev Bey, by Yaakov Avinu, he said regarding his first child, Reuven, says, Koichi v'reishas oini, you, my first strength and my first vigor. What that meant was, Shlei Ruach Kerem Yamav, he wanted to say, you, my first drops of semen that came out of my body, because he never had a seminal emission. And so that was by Yaakov Avinu, but no one else, I mean, no one's like that, to say that, so how is he going to have a seminal emission? oh, we have to figure out some physiological way because he's never going to have impure thoughts that he's going to have a sublimation. So let's put warm barley bread in the rear. It says you don't have to do that. Elam Abaya. Abaya says, Mabrinan kamei bigditzavainen. What you do is you take some beautiful, colorful clothing of a woman, and then he's going to start thinking about a woman. He's going to have a similar mission. Why do you have to go to such great detail in doing something physiologically, even something cognitively? The person is going to come to thought and is going to have a similar mission. Now, Amar Rava. Rava responded to that. He said it in the other way. He says, Atukul Amar Barzile Hagiladihu. You think everyone is so steeped in immorality, and as Barzile Giladihu was a biblical figure that just by passing colorful clothing of a woman, he's going to have impure thoughts and it's going to make him have a similar mission? And that is by Barzile HaGiladi, we find that he says in the Pasuk, Im Yitam Avedecha, you think I could taste anymore? Where the Gemara in Shabbos explains that because he was so steeped in immorality, his senses were already numbed and dulled, and therefore he was like already like an old person. So where we say that it's not true because he was old, he couldn't taste, because in the household of Rebbe, there was a 92-year-old lady that used to taste the dishes, and therefore, obviously, you still have your sense of taste. And this, that he was saying that it doesn't, is because it was steeped in immorality. So Rebbe is saying, what do you mean? You think everyone, you just pass some beautiful clothing and they're going to have a similar mission? Ela rather, machvarta, rather it's clear, kedishnim yikor, like we answered originally, that what we do is, like Rav Yosef said, you take this warm barley bread and you put it in the rear, and that warmth will cause him to have carry. So Tarban Linda Braisa, continuing on this halacha of nekev, of developing a hole, of being pierced in the male member. So Tarban Nikav Pasal. As we said, that if someone has, it's pierced, so he's pasal because of Kreish Shafcha. Now, and the reason is Mneshu Shaisis. Now what happens is that to be able to have a child, which is what this halacha invalidating a Petzua Dak and Kreish Shafcha is that the semen has to come out through the hole, has to shoot like an arrow. Now, the Gemara Chagiga tells us that if semen that doesn't come out like an arrow will not be mazriya, will not create a child. Now, that's from the warmth of the desire that a person has that goes through the hole. In this case, where he has a different hole, that's something that's going to cause, that's not going to shoot like an arrow, and it's going to take away from that pressure, and therefore it's just going to drip out. If it's dripping out, can't father a child. Now, however, as we said before, if nistam kosher, the hole gets closed up, then it's kosher. And the reason is nishu mildly, because then it could father a child. And this, developing a hole, being pierced in the male member, is something that can revert back to its original kosher status, as we just said. If it closes up, it'll be kosher. Now, the Gemara asks, regarding the terminology of the Braisa, Zehu l'mu'utimai, when it says this is an invalidation that could go back to be kosher again, what's that excluding? That the Gemara says, l'mu'utei kroim sha'ola machmas maka bereya. This excludes a membrane, some tissue that covers over a lung that developed a hole, and then there's that tissue that goes, the scar tissue that develops on the lungs, the anacroim, where that won't be an efficient type of a membrane. And the reason is because actually later on it's going to peel off, and that's what's called in halacha sirchi direya, which is a simon of tarfus in the lungs. We don't want to feel any adhesions because that means to say that there was a wound that was then covered over, and that's not good because that's a simon of tarfus of an animal that cannot survive because ultimately it's going to get peeled off. That's a psul that's not chayz lechsher. Although there it seems to be the same idea about getting closed up and covered over, there that's not valid, and it's only over here where we're saying by the member that was nikav that if it's nistim, it's kasha. Now, sholach le Rav Idi bar Oven Labaya, he asked him, heichav dinan. Now, you said that the halacha is that if it gets closed up, the person's kosher, it's chayz lechsher. So how do we do this, the therapeutic process of closing up the hole in the gid? So he said, Maisinon sa'arta, you bring a barley corn, umesartinan lay, and you scrape away the entire perimeter of this hole that developed in the gid. And the reason is so that you want that it should, all the blood and all the elements that are there should come out. Because of that, that causes that all the connective tissue starts growing and starts regenerating, and it creates, by opening it up, it creates that growth. So therefore, it starts closing it up. Moreover, umaisinon tarba, you bring fat, shafinan, and you smear it there on the wound. Umaisinon shumshano gamla, you bring also a large ant. Umenachsinon le, and you put the ant with his head facing towards where that hole is, and he bites, and his head gets stuck in the hole. And then we chop his head off. so that that closes up the hole. Now, as he disintegrates, at the same rate, the flesh that's there, the connective tissue, is closing up that hole. And that's how we go ahead and we close up that hole so that the person could be kosher, lo v'bekal. Now, however, the Gemara qualifies, and v'davka sa'arta has to be necessarily to use this to break open that hole, to have it start regenerating, has to be a barley corn. Of a parzla, but if one was to use steel, metal, then mizrav zarv, then that actually either would cause a wound, or another interpretation of Rashi would actually cause swelling. Now, another qualification is v'hanimeli cotton. That's only if the hole is small. Of a godol, mikpuli mikpo. But if it's a large hole, then even if it's going to close up, after a while it's going to peel off and it's going to undo that hole closing up, and therefore it's not going to be valid to allow him to be lovi lakal. Now, returning to these halachas, as we had mentioned at the end of the previous daf regarding where the zera comes out from, so Amar Rabbah Bar Afuni says, Hamatal mayim mishtei mekoymes. If someone urinates from two places, meaning not only from the urinary tract, but also from the seminal tract, then pasul is going to be pasul, which seems similar to halacha we learned on the previous daf, which is if the zera, the semen, is not coming out from the seminal tract, but rather from the urinary tract, then we said it's pasul because that's not going to be mazriya appropriately. So here we have halacha that's seemingly the same thing if it goes the other way around. If the urine is not coming out just from the urinary tract, but also the seminal tract. On that Amar Rava, he says, Les helchasa, the halacha does not follow loy kebra, loy ka'aba, not like the son and not like the father. As he explains, bra, the son, meaning Rabbah Bar Avuna, is hadamaran. Because actually, this is different than that halacha. The zera, if it doesn't come out from its tract, again, as we explained, the metzias, the reality of the anatomy changed, but in the times of the Talmud, it was that there was two different tracts with a little membrane separating where the urine would come out from and where the semen would come out from. So if the semen comes out from a different tract, well, that's going to be a problem. But if the semen's coming out where it always does and just urine sometimes comes through there, that actually is going to be kasher, not like Rabba said. And Abba, the halacha doesn't fall like his father either, Rav Huna, because the Amr Rav Huna had said, Nashim ha-misayl le-zu b'zu. Regarding women that rub each other, that they take their genitalia, meaning they engage in copulation the way a male and a female does, where they rub their nakvus, their genitalia, one with the other, they're pesulis the kuhuna. He said that they're invalid for kuhuna because essentially they're like zainis. They're engaging in these immoral relations, which is what a zaina does, and therefore they're forbidden for a kohen who cannot marry a zaina. Now, that he says, the halacha doesn't fall like him either. Because Vafil, Rabbi Lazar, even according to Rabbi Lazar, who he's the most stringent interpretation of what a zayin is in engaging forbidden relations, Doma that he says, Ponoi habal panuyo shaloi l'shem ishus, if a single man engages in cohabitation with a single woman out of wedlock, he says asa zayinu. That just one act goes ahead and makes her into a zayinu. Now, hanamili ish, but that was only if it's a man. Aval isha pritzusa ba'am, but a woman is just, it's just immoral, and is engaging in preetus type of acts, but there's no actual cohabitation. You need a male to deal with a female, and therefore the halacha does not fall like the father of Huna either. It does not make a woman into a zayin to be pasul for kuhuna. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing the theme of the previous Mishnah, discussing petzua daka and korei shafcha. So the Mishnah tells us petzua daka, someone that his testicles were crushed, korei shafcha, or that the male member was cut, mutarin b'giyaris m'shachareres, are permitted to marry a female convert or a maidservant that was freed. And the reason is because although it says clearly in the pasuk that a petzua daka cannot marry into the kehila, to the assembly of the Jewish people, the geyaris and meshachareres are not called kahal. They're not from the primary components of the Jewish people, in other words, to be considered a kehila, because they were brought into that. So therefore it's permitted. And because ve'ena nasur and elam lovi b'kali is only forbidden to marry into the kehila of the Jewish people, so whoever gets that definition, which is not by Giras Mishachareres, Shunam, like he says in Pasuk in Devar, says, Layave Betzua Daka, Korei Shavcha, Bekal Hashem. And therefore they're permitted in Giras Mishachareres. Now, related to our Mishnah, the Gemara asked the following question. Boyum name Rav Sheshes, they asked this question from Rav Sheshes. Betzua Daka Koyen. If we're talking about a Betzua Daka, that's additionally he's a Koyen. Now, here the question is, we know a regular Betzua Daka is allowed to marry Giras Mishachareres. But Mahu Begiris Mishachares, what's the halacha if he's a Kayan that's a Betzua Daka? Now, if he were to be a Kayan that was kosher, not a Betzua Daka, obviously he would be forbidden to marry a Giris Mishachares. because they have halachic status of a zayna. And the reason is because before they became Jewish, in the sense of becoming a yerus or being freed, so then they would have relations with any type of a man, which makes them into a zayna. But we're talking about here a petua daka kain, who is forbidden to marry a regular Jewish woman because of petua daka. What's halacha? Could he marry a yerus or mishachras? As the Gemara explains the question. Do we say biktusha sei koi v'aser? Do we say that you're right regarding his petua daka kama? There's really two elements we're discussing. We're discussing when a geirus mishachreus have two components about them. One is that they're not the kehila, but another component is that they also have a halachic status as a zayna. Now, regular petua daka that's not a kohen can marry them because a regular Yisrael has no problem marrying a zayna, and moreover, they're not considered from the kehila. But here, regarding where he's a kohen, question is, although he's a petua daka, fine, so he can't marry the kehila of these Jewish people, but he still maintains his kedusha. He's still a kohen. Now, a kohen is forbidden to marry a zayna, even if she's not in the kehila, which would be permitted for a petua daka. Or maybe the Gemara's question was, maybe petua daka, he gets demoted, he gets removed from the sanctity of the Bnei Aaron. Bnei Aaron have certain levels. Petua daka does not have that. So that was the question. So only Rav Sheshes responded to Nisua. We learned this in a brisa that seems to indicate clearly that he would be permitted. Because the brisa says as follows, petua daka Yisrael, it says that if you have a petua daka that's a Jewish man, not necessarily a kohen, mutter b'nesina is permitted to marry from the Nesinim, which that's one of the seven nations of the land of Canaan. They're from the Gevinim, which is generally forbidden for a Jewish person to marry. But we said a petua daka is permitted to marry them. Now Sheshes develops his proof. It says, if you would entertain that a petua daka, whether he's a kohen or Yisrael, but maintains the sanctity he had beforehand, in the kohen it means his kedusha is kohen, which means forbidden for a zayna, and regarding Yisrael, it means to say that he's forbidden to marry from the Shivim Umois, from the seven nations of Eretz Canaan. Now then the question would be, then how would a Yisrael be permitted to marry in the Sina, even if he's a petua daka? But Ikri Khan, you should apply the pasuk in the Varm that says, Loi tischatin b'om, you're not allowed to marry from the seven nations. Obviously, that's a regular Yisrael cannot marry them. A petua daka loses the Kedushas Yisrael even. That's why he can marry from the Nesinim. So the same thing applies to a kohen, that's a petua daka. He loses that sanctity of Kuna too, and therefore he also can marry a Geyeris and a Shivcha Meshacheres. There's no problem for the Isra Zayin that it applies only if you have Kedushas kohen. Now on that Amarava, he says no. What do you mean? Atu Hasam, he says, you're misinterpreting that pasuk like the Schattenbaum, as which is the basis of your proof from that Brisa. Do you think over there where the Torah said it's forbidden to marry the non-Jews of, the, let's say, the Nesinim, is Mishum Kedusha, V'lav Kedushuhu? That was based on because of the sanctity of the Jewish person? And based on that, you wanted to say that, oh, even when they convert, when they become Geiris, that it's going to be forbidden. For example, when the Nesinim become Geirim, you wanted to say it should be a problem. So you wanted to prove from there, why isn't it a problem if the Nesinim who converted could marry Yisrael? You want to say, obviously, because that petua daka loses his sanctity of Yisrael. And that is what Rava says, is not really, that's not true. The reason over there of why loy teschatenbam is because dilma meilid ben, maybe you might have a child from that one of the seven nations. V'azol polach levoy teskechavim, and that child's going to go serve idol worship. Now, that's why the pasuk is talking about v'hanamila b'yosin of the kechavim. The pasuk is only talking about when they're non-Jewish, when they never converted. However, kima gairi, when they do convert from the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, so then the gear says mishra sharu, then of course they're going to be permitted to marry into Yisrael. And that is the reason why the Rabbanan said, in general, that a Yisrael kosher, a valid Yisrael, not a petua daka, is not allowed to marry in the Sina. Meaning, Rav is saying, biblically, when they convert, of course you can marry from the seven nations. The pasuk of Tischatenbaum was talking about before conversion. Before conversion, there's a problem, because if you're going to marry a non-Jewess, she's going to go out and take your child and have them worship non-Jews. Now, but Rabban hu degazibu, the Rabbanan made a decree, as it's brought on later on, Dafayin Chesem HaBeis, where David HaMelech made a gezerah, that one should not go ahead, even if they convert, the Gevinim and the Sinim should not go ahead and marry them. Now, but although biblically it's okay. Now, v'chigazru b'rabbanan, but when did Rabbanan make this gezera? It was only b'hanach d'b'nei oludei. It was only by people that can have a child from that union. Because, as we always know, the Rabbanu were mesaken ke'in derei, so similar to the biblical criteria. And the whole purpose, as Rabbi just explained, of l'itas chatan, is because you might have a child, and that child might go ahead and serve avodah zarah. Aval hai de la bar ludei l'gaz b'rabbanan. But here, by the betzua daka, who cannot have a child, and that's why it's possible of Makal, the Rabbanan didn't make such a gezerah. And therefore, it has nothing to do with what you're trying to prove of Kedusha or not Kedusha. It's based on the criteria for the rabbinic injunction of not allowing a Yisrael to marry a convert from the Zion Umais. But however, that's based on a different halacha, and therefore Betzua Daka was excluded, but no one said that he loses the Kedusha. It's just Rabbanan didn't make a gezerah over there, but when it applies to a full-fledged Isra of, let's say, a Zayna, which is what a Geiris and Meshachreris are to a Kayin, even if he's a Betzua Daka, of course he will be forbidden. Now, on that, the Gemara asked on Rav's rejection of Rav Sheshes' Raya. It says, Elmiyate, if it's true the way Rav is saying it, well, the Mamzer de Barulude, then a Mamzer, an illegitimate child who could father children, and he's forbidden to do any prohibition in the Torah. Now, biblically, that would make him forbidden to marry a non-Jewess. So, Hanami Daaser, so here also, it should be forbidden that just like biblically you're saying that we follow the rabbinic injunction against even when they convert. So that's forbidden. It's just Petzua Daka, we didn't make the Gzeir Rabban because he can't have a child, but a Mamzer could have a child, and therefore he should be forbidden to marry a Nesina. Yet Vatanan, we have a Mishnah Maseches Kedushin that says clearly, Mamzerim v'Nesinim mutarim lo v'ezebezeh. A Mamzer is allowed to marry a Nesinim. But according to you, Rabbi, that doesn't make sense. Because even when they convert, there's rabbinic Isser. Now you're saying those who are removed from those Isser would be like a Petzua Daka who could not have a child, but a Mamzer that could should be forbidden. So rather, the Gemara amends this interpretation of Rava and says in a different version that, yes, it's still a Gzeira Rabbanan, it's not the way Rav Shesh had interpreted. Rather, Kigaz Rabbanan, when did Rabbanan make the Gzeira, who cannot marry even from the seven nations like Nesidim that converted, is B'Kesherim, are a Kasher Yisrael. But B'Psulim, someone that's invalid, I mean like a Petzua Daka and a Mamzer, who are not allowed to marry into the Kila, they're like Gzeira Rabbanan, their Rabbanan did not make a Gzeira. And there's two interpretations in Rashi, either because it's a milsa leishchicha, meaning it's not a common occurrence to have a Petzua Daka or a Mamzer, and we always know the Rabbanu not geizer in a milsa leishchicha that's not so commonly found. Or another interpretation of Rashi is that actually this whole gezeira had nothing to do with Isser. It wasn't based on the biblical prohibition when they were non-Jews to say that even when they're Jewish, that's also going to be a problem. The whole reason why is because the nations of the seven nations of Eretz Canaan, they weren't rachmanim. They didn't have mercy on people. Now, David HaMelech said it's not fit for those types of people with those characteristics to mix in with the Jewish people. Now, that's why the Gezerah never applied to those who are psulim, because they're aser lovi bakal. They're never going to marry. It's not going to get intertwined and assimilated into the Jewish people, because let these psulim marry them, because they don't come into the Jewish people anyway, these mamzerim psul taka. And that's why it didn't apply over there. But however, again, it has nothing to do with regarding this allowance of the Petzua Daka to marry Nesinim because they lose their sanctity. It's just because the Gezer Drabbanan didn't apply by Psulim. So therefore, he rejected Rav Sheshes' Raya. But the Gemara tells us, Hadam Rava, ultimately Rava retracted, and he said, Lav Melsihi. This that I had said originally is actually not true. Now, however, the Gemara tells us that Hadam Rava, ultimately Rava retracted from his rejection of Rav Sheshes' proof from the Brisa permitting a Petzua Daka Yisrael to marry Nesina, based on his argument of how you interpret the pasuk of Loitz Chatenbaum, and he says, La milsi. This that I had said, that I had interpreted the pasuk of Loitz Chatenbaum when they were non-Jews, and therefore it's no raya to Rav Sheshes' point that the Yisrael, that's a Petzua Daka, loses his sanctity. Rather, because b'yaisen oivdei kechavim les luchasnas, you cannot say that the pasuk of Loitz Chatenbaum is talking about when they're non-Jews, because as we already taught in previous dafim, like in Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, a non-Jew, there's no marriage. You cannot create a marriage. The Kedushin is not Taifis. Now, must be, when the Torah is telling you, Loitis Chatenbaum, don't get married to them, must be only Nisgairu Isluchasnas. It's only when they convert that there could be some type of a marriage, and must be that the Pasuk is talking about when they have already converted. Now, so therefore, what would that would sound like is that it's because of the sanctity of Yisrael that he's forbidden to marry the Nesin, because what's wrong? They're Jewish already now. Must be because there's a certain kedusha that is for Yisrael, and it's not based on the Gzeir Rabban. And that's the biblical commandment, like the Schatten Bam. Now, so therefore, Rav Sheshet's proof is correct. From the fact that the Braisa tells us that a Betzua Daki Yisrael is permitted in the Sina, obviously, how you married to marry in the Sina, even after they converted, that's what Leit Deschatan Bam is talking about. Must be that he doesn't have a sanctity of Yisrael anymore. And therefore, Rav Sheshet is correct by passing on that logic to the Kayin, who's Betzua Daki, who also loses his sanctity, and therefore he would be permitted to marry Igyarius and the Shefcha Meshachrares, because although they have halachic status of Zaina, Zaina is only forbidden to someone that has the sanctity of a Kayin. He loses sanctity, just like we see by Yisrael Betzua Daka, loses sanctity for even the biblical prohibition of that is forbidden for the Leitzah Schatten Bam, where it's only when there is Chitin, when they already did a Geiris, and that's based on when you have Kedushas Yisrael, which a Betzua Daka loses. Now, however, Masar Rav Yosef, asked on this interpretation of Leitzah Schatten Bam, because the Pasuk Malachim Aleph tells us, says, Vayischatin Shloime Es, the Gersa takes it the word Bas, Pari Melech Mitzrayim, that Shlomo Melech married the daughter of Pari, the king of Egypt. Now, that's non-Jews, and yet it says that there was chitin, that there was a marriage. So you see that you could say Leitzah Schatten Bam is talking about when they're non-Jews, because you see that you could have a marriage even with this Egyptian princess who was non-Jewish. So the Gemara says, Gayur Gaira. He converted her first, and then he had. So that's not a difficulty. Yes, the only way you could have a marriage, which is the prohibition like the Schatten Bam, is when they already were Megayer, and he converted her first. That the Gemara asks, is that really so? But the Jewish people did not accept converts. We have a halacha that was mentioned, that neither in the days of David HaMelech or in Shlomo HaMelech did they accept converts. So how could you say Shlomo HaMelech was Megayer her first to allow that there should be chitin, that there should be a marriage? So the Gemara says, wait a second. Midhu Taima. What was the whole reason why they didn't accept converts in those days? El Shulchan Malachim was only because the Jewish people were so prosperous at that time. So all the nations wanted to join them and get those benefits. So we didn't allow converts because they're just doing it for that vested interest. However, as the Gemara continues on Amud Beis, but the daughter of Paroi, Loi Tzrichle, she didn't need Shleima HaMelech and his wealth, because she was a Bas Melech, she had wealth, and therefore there would be no problem by converting her, because she's not doing it for that interest of the Jewish people's wealth in those days. But still the Gemara asked, V'tepiklei, fine, even if you say that he converted her, it's still problematic how to interpret that pasuk. The Mitzvah Rishonahi, she was a first generation Egyptian that was converting. Now, and even so, the pasuk tells us that vayischatin, that there was chitin. Now that's problematic because a mitzri or mitzris in the first two generations cannot marry into the Jewish people. So obviously you see that even if it's someone that has a problem of leitischatin could apply even before the geris, even before kedushin is typhus, because there's no kedushin typhus for a mitzri yishayna, which was what she was. So even if you converted her, it's still problematic how you define vayischatin. Obviously the chitin could be even when they were non-Jews, when they cannot marry into the Jewish people. Now, so the Gemara says, and v'chitem, if you're going to answer this question by saying, hanach az lil alma, no, there's no more Egyptians. Meaning, the original Egyptians, they died and they drowned in the days of Pari by the Yamsuf. Now, when did the Torah warn then, so who is this that the Torah is warning later by Matan Torah that you can't not marry until the third generation Egyptian? That was actually from the Erev Rav. There were many non-Jews, Egyptians that came up with the Jewish people. That was what the Torah was warning. Those people, up until the third generation, you cannot marry. And so who are these people that live in Egypt now, which lived in the days of Shlomo HaMelech? That was V'hanachrin and Inu. Those were other people. Other nations came and filled up the beautiful land of Egypt, and they settled there. And therefore, that's why it wasn't a problem of a Yischatin. He was able to get married to her, and she wasn't a Mitzri Yishayna, because she's not a Mitzri. And a regular convert, you can go ahead and marry. But Vatanya learned the Braisa, that's clearly not like that, that the Mitzrim are still there. Because Amr Yehuda, Yehuda said that Minyamin was his name, was a Ger Mitzri, he was an Egyptian convert. Hayili Chaver, he was a friend of mine, Mitamid Rekiva, from the students of Rekiva. And Amr, this Minyamin said, Ani Mitzrishon, I'm a first generation convert from the Egyptian people. The Nasasi Mitzrishon, and I married a first generation female convert. Now, Asi Levni Mitzrishni, I'm going to marry off my son to a second generation female convert from the Egyptians, Kadeshi, hey, Ben Bini, Ro Lova Bakal, so that my grandson will be fit to come into the Jewish people. And the reason is because if he would marry off his son, who is a second generation Egyptian, to a first generation female Egyptian convert, then their child would be a second generation, still not able to come to the Jewish people. As the Gemara tells us later on, Daf Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, that we are halach achar psulin. We go after the more invalidating factor. So if one is a second and one is a first, the child is going to be a second generation. Now, but one thing we see from his statement is that the Egyptians are still there and they didn't go anywhere else, because here Binyamin is saying he's an Egyptian, which is generations later. So Amar Papa says, wait a second, the whole question doesn't start. Anan Mishloim Lake of Anesa. What's the whole question? The question is that we interpreted that Leitas Chatan Bam cannot be talking about, and that's how we rejected Rabbi's rejection of Rav Sheshes, can't be talking about before they converted, because there's no chitin, there's no marriage in that place. But we asked, but what's with Shlaima? Shlaima Melch did have a marriage. And even if you say he converted her, but she's a first generation Egyptian. So he's saying, we're asking from Shlaima? Shlaima Lay Nasa Midi, he never married her. He just wanted her for relations. The Sibbe, like it says in Pasuk Melachim Aleph, says, Min HaGoyim Asher Omar Hashem El B'nei Yisrael, from the nations that Hashem said to the Jewish people, Lay Tavayu Bahem, don't come to them, don't have relations with them, Behem Lay Yivayu Bahem, and they shouldn't come to you. And the reason is, Achein, Yatu Eslavavchem Achrei Eloi Heihem, because they're going to turn your hearts towards their gods. Now, Bahem, Davik Shleim Alava, and it's with those people, meaning, and one of them being the Egyptians, that Shleim Melch turned to love. Now, what you see from the word to love is, and not for Ishes, not for marriage. So therefore the question doesn't start. He never married her, and therefore there's no proof that you see that you could have marriage even from those that are pre-Gerus, because he just had relations with her. Now the Gemara asks, but Elakasha, but the Pasuk says, Vayischatan. And that the Gemara answers, Mitecha hava yisera sha'ava, from the great love that he had for her, the Pasuk equates it, and that's why I use the terminology, as if he had married her, but he never married her, and therefore doesn't provide any difficult for that interpretation of the Schatmam, that's only after they converted. Now the Gemara returns back to the discussion of Petsua Daka for Nesina, where we introduced that in our discussion regarding a Petsua Daka Koyhen for the Geiris and Mishachres of our Mishnah. So we brought in a Brisa that said that a Petsua Daka is permitted to go ahead and marry a Nesina. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi, he says, but Vaho Anan, but we actually learned, not like this, Brisa, we learned actually that Tanan in our Mishnah says, Petsua Daka of a Krei Shavcha, someone that's a Petsua Daka Krei Shavcha, is Mutar and Begiris Mishachres. What did our Mishnah say? Our Mishnah said that a Petsua Daka, since they're not from the Kila, the Jewish people, he's permitted to marry the female convert and the woman that was freed, which applies even for Yisrael Kosher. Although it also apostle Lakalik, a Petsua Daka is permitted to marry them, but a regular Jewish person is also. Now the inference is, Ha ben Nesina Siri, it seems like that, but that in Nesina it would be forbidden for a Petsua Daka, meaning that we do consider him like Yisrael Ma'aliyah. He's a regular Jewish person, which retains the sanctity of the Jewish person. Now there's just a problem for the Petsua Daka that he can't marry the Kila, so there are certain women that every Jewish person could marry, like a Geiris Mishachres, but it's not problematic for Petsua Daka, he's not part of the Kila. But if it was like the previous Brisa that was saying that a Petsua Daka is permitted in Nesina, why would you say only in our Mishnah that it's permitted in Begiris Mishachres? Say even a bigger Chiddush. Say that you permit it even in Nesina. Obviously, he retains the sanctity and argues on that Brisa. So Malaysia responded to him, says, no. Well, Taimeich, Emesev, according to your line of questioning, look at the end of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said, Ve'einan Asurin, and Petsua Daka is only forbidden, Elam Lova Bakal, only for marrying those who are the Kila, the Jewish people. What that sounds like is, but everyone else, including Nesina, would be permitted, like that Braisa. Obviously, you cannot make any inferences from our Mishnah, and therefore it's not difficult on that Braisa that says that it's permitted for Petsua Daka to marry a Nesina, because our Mishnah could be understood and inferred either way, and therefore there's no clear inferences. And therefore the Braisa Salacha stands that a Petsua Daka is permitted in a Nesina, as Rav Sheshes proved from there that the Petsua Daka loses his sanctity, and therefore he said that a Kain that's a Petsua Daka is permitted to marry a Geiris and a Mishachres. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, which continues on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which was discussing those which are forbidden to marry into the Kehila, which was because one of those cases was a Petsua Daka who could not marry into the Kehila. Now the reason why we're discussing Petsua Daka was because previous Mishnahs were discussing the halacha of Truma, which that was related to how Petsua Daka would be for Truma regarding his wife. Now, the reason why we're speaking about Truma was because we were speaking about Aman L'Kohen Gadol, whereas what her halacha status is to eat Truma and regarding those that are psuli l'kohuna. And the reason why we're discussing that was because, as this Masechet is told, we're speaking about psuli Yibum, which is problematic for Yibum, which is Aman L'Kohen Gadol, which that's a forbidden union, and therefore how that relates to the halachas of Yibum. And that's how we're holding over here in this Mishnah, continuing along that line in those that are Isurikal. So the Mishnah tells us, Amayne umay avi asurin, a convert from the nation of Ammon and Moab are forbidden to marry into the Kila of the Jewish people. Visurin Israelim, and that's an eternal for all future generations that they have, are forbidden to marry into the Kila of the Jewish people. Avon nikvay sehem utaris miyat, but their females are permitted once they convert straight into the Jewish people. Mitzvah doimi in asurim, the Egyptians and the Edomites are not forbidden, ela ad shlesha daris, only until the third generation. Whether male or female, up until the third generation, they're forbidden. But after that, they are allowed to marry into the Jewish people. But Reb Shimon, he argues his matres in the Kavis Miyad. He says the Egyptians and the Edomites, if the females are permitted right away. And on Reb Shimon, he says, Kavochema advarm. He says it's a Kavochema. Because, if regarding the people like Ammon and Moab, where those males are forbidden forever, hitres in the Kavis Miyad, but the females are permitted right away. So regarding Mitzrim and Adomites, where the prohibition is only up to three generations, in the Dinjanatis and the Kevis Miyad, wouldn't it be a Kabul Chaymer to say that the females are permitted right away? So the Chacham responded to Rabbi Shimon, they said, look, Im Halacha, if this is a tradition you heard from your teachers, that the Kevis are permitted right away by the Mitzrim and Adomi, well then the Kabul then will accept from you that Misari that you have. But v'im ladin, if you're basing it on the kavo chaymer, on your own logic, your own kavo chaymer, then yes, tshuva. There's many responses we could show you that it wouldn't be that kavo chaymer, and the Gemara will explain those. But however, Amalehem Reb Shimon responded to them. He says, loy, no. And that is key, and that is even if I were making it on my own logic, on my own kavo chaymer, you don't have a good response. As the Gemara will explain that, well, he would retort to their responses. However, Halocha on the Eimer, in spite of that, actually it's a tradition that I have, and therefore they would accept that a Mitzri and a Demi, the females, would be permitted right away. Now the Gemara asked regarding the opening Halocha in our Mishnah, Mino Anamili, where do we know that although the Amon and Moav, as it says in the Torah, are forbidden forever, but that the females are permitted right away? So Amar B'Yechanan, he says, the Amar Kra, and the Gemara brings an episode in Tanakh, which will illustrate this Halocha. The Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, says v'chirayis Shaul as David, when Shaul saw David, yitzi l'kras ha'plishti, going towards the Philistine, a reference to Goliath, who there was this famous fight with David and Goliath, which David HaMelech offered to go ahead and fight Goliath. So Amel Avner sar tzava, so Shaul saw who's this going to take on Goliath. So he said to Avner, the leader of his army, he says, ben mi zehanar Avner, Avner, who's this lad a son of? So v'yema Avner, so Avner said, by the life of your life, the king, if I would know who he is. Now, the problem with this, the Gemara says, did Shaul not know who David HaMelech was at the time of this episode? But Vaksiv the Pasuk already says in Shmuel Aleph, Shaul loved David HaMelech very much, and he was the one that would hold his vessels. So, of course, he knew who he was. So, Ela avu komashal. What he was asking when he says who he's a son of, he was asking who's his father. Now, on that, the Gemara still asks, but didn't he know who his father was? But the Pasuk says in Shmuel Aleph, it says, Vo'ish, and the man, B'mei Shaul, in the days of Shaul, was a Zakin Baba Anoshim, was an elderly man that would come with men. Now, V'amar Rav, and Rav said, V'itam, and some say it was Rav Abba that said, that's a reference to Ze Yishai Avi David, that's a reference to Yishai, the father of David, that he would come in and go out with a multitude of 600,000 people would escort him. So obviously he was a very well known individual. So what does it mean he was asking who is his father? So rather hachikama, what Shaul was asking was, and the Gir says, Zil Shaul, go ahead and ask, Imi Peretz Asi, when he wanted to know who's his father, he wanted to know who his ancestors were, he's from the tribe of Yehuda. But Yehuda had sons, Peretz and Zarach. So he wants to know, Imi Peretz Asi, Imi Zarach Asi. Now, why would that make a difference? So the reason is because Imi Peretz Asi, if he's coming from that side of Peretz, well, then Malkahava, he's going to be a king. And the reason is, as we see in the name of Peretz, Shamelech Peretz, because the king could breach any gates that's in his way. Lasses derech to make a shortcut, a path for him, if he's going from his house to his vineyard or to his orchard. He could cut through anyone's gate. No protest, the king could do whatever he wants to do. Now, but if he only comes from Zarach, well then chashiva ba'al mahavet, then it's just he'll be distinguished, but he's not necessarily going to become a king. Now, as the Gemara will explain, the reason why he wanted to know this is because he saw certain characteristics of kingdom, of becoming a king in David HaMelech. And therefore, it definitely is going to be some great person. The question is he going to actually become a king? That would be if he's coming from Peretz. Or if he's going to be from just the side of Zarach, which he'll be great, but he's not necessarily going to take over the kingdom of Shaul. Now the Gemara asks, "My time of Omalei Shaul Alau." What's the reason that Shaul HaMelech asked this question? What did he see that he was so afraid that David HaMelech is going to take over the Malchus, that he saw some characteristics of Malchus by David? So the Gemara says, "Dichsil," like it says in the pasuk over there, "Vayilba Shaul as David Madab." So Shaul clothed David with his armor to go ahead and fight. Now, the interpretation of Madab is also related to the word Kimidasai, the word of not just of armor but of measurements. Meaning that he closed him and it was like the measurement of David. Now the problem with this is, Uchsiv Bei B'Shaul, regarding Shaul HaMelech, it says that he was Meshich Mayumal Gavoy Mekolam. He was head and shoulders taller than everybody of the people. Now David HaMelech was not. And therefore it was a great miracle that suddenly the armor of the king is fitting exactly to David HaMelech. So he was worried. He was saying, is he going to become the Melech? Is he from Peretz? Is he from Zarach? So Amay Daig HaDami. So Daig HaDami heard this conversation. He said, before you even start asking if he's appropriate to become a king or not, if he's from Peretz or Zarach, I ask you a better question. You should ask if he's even allowed to enter and marry into the Jewish people, the Kehillah, or not. So my time over there asking, what do you mean? What's the reason? Why would he not? And the reason is, he said, we know that David HaMelech came from Rus, who is from Moav, and the Moav is not allowed to marry to the Jewish people. That means all her descendants are all forbidden to marry to the Kehillah, as we know that Am and the Moav are forbidden forever. So Amalei Avna said to Doeg, he says, what do you mean, Tanin? We learn the Braisa. It says in the Torah, Amoini, in the masculine, V'loi Amoinis, which excludes the females, Ma'avi V'loi Ma'avis, as we said in our Mishnah, that Am and the Moav, the males are forbidden, but the females are permitted right away. Now, on that, Doeg responded, he says, wait a second, Elmeata, if your interpretation would be correct, then Mamzer also says in the masculine, V'lei Mamzeris, and therefore a illegitimate child that's female should be permitted, and we know that's forbidden. So Amna responded, he says, no, Mamzer Ksib. The word Mamzer is a combination of Mum Zar, a foreign blemish. And therefore anyone that has that foreign blemish, whether male or female, is going to be forbidden. Therefore Mamzer includes females. But Doeg continued asking, what do you mean? It says Mitzri in the masculine, it should be V'lei Mitzris, and therefore the female Mitzris should be permitted. So that Avni responded, he says, no. Shani Hacha, by the Amoin and Moiv people, it makes sense that it was only for the males and not for the females. The reason is because the Mefarish time of the Korah, the Pasuk itself in Devarim tells us why we never accept forever their descendants from the Gerim of Amon and Moiv. Because it says, because that they didn't come to bring you bread and water when you needed it. And because of that, these are bad characteristics. Hashem says they're not joining the Jewish people. Forever they're going to get penalized for that act. Now, Avner said, who is it that should come out to the Jewish people and give them the food that they needed? It's the way of a man to do that. But women are not coming to the men. It's not appropriate. And therefore, then they didn't get punished. And therefore, a female, Amoine Mayovi, could convert and join the Jewish people. And therefore, Rus was not a problem for her descendants. Now, that Doeg asked back, but that's not true. You're right. The men of Am and Moav should have gone to the Jewish people. And the Noshim Lekras Noshim, the women should have gone to the women. What's wrong with that? And therefore, they're also included in that penalty. And therefore, we see Amoini is the problem for Amoinis too, and Moyavi is for Moyavis too. And therefore, David HaMelech should be Pasul Lavi Bukal. So Ishtik Avner was quiet. Never answered to that, Taina. So Miyad, immediately the Pasuk tells us, V'yem HaMelech, the king said to Avner, Shal ata ben mizeh ha'olim. So go ahead and find out who is this, a child of. So the Gemara notices the different terminology. Hasam, there beforehand, he said, Karle Nar. He called him Nar. Hacha Karli Elam. Now he called him Elam, which both of them are references to youth, but why the change of the terminology? So that's a reference to Hacha Kamali. This is what Shaul said to Avner. Halacha nis alma mimcha. The word Elam also means that it was concealed. You don't know the halacha. Maybe he's not, as Daig is saying, a good time. Maybe he's not able to join the Jewish people. Forget about becoming a king. So Tzei b'Shaul b'Beis HaMedrash, go ahead and ask this question in the study hall. So Shaul, so Avner went to ask a Shaila b'Beis HaMedrash. So Amalei, they said to him, like he said originally, there's no problem. Rus was able to come in. It's only the males that are a problem, not the females. Now we continue on top of Ayin Zaman Aleph, but actually who Daig kohanu kushyasa. So they went and asked the same questions that Daig had asked. And Ishtiku, they were silent because it's a good claim that the women should have gone out to the women and therefore they should also be included in that penalty. So Daig wanted to go ahead and make an announcement regarding David that it's possible, love Bakal. Forget about becoming a king, he can't even marry a Jewish woman. Now, however, Miyad, immediately the Pasuk tells us in Shmuel Beis, the Amasa, who is Ben Ish, was the son of a man in Bishmai, and his name was Yisra Hasr Eli. Now, Ashaboa al Abigail, who he married Abigail, who was Bas Nachash, the daughter of Nachash. Now, the problem is, Uchsiv, it says in Pasuk in Divrei Yom Aleph, when it describes, it says that Abigail yolda es Amasa, that Abigail gave birth to Amasa. Now, it says there in the Pasuk that who was Va'avi Amasa, who was the father of him, was Yisra Hashmi Eli. Why in the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, it calls him Yisra HaYisra Eli, and in Divrei Yom Aleph, it calls him Yisra HaYishma Eli. So that Amarava Malamet Shacharga Charbe Kishma. What that teaches is we're calling him Yishmaeli because he girded himself with his sword like a Yishmaelite. Vaman, he said, Kol Misha Ein Shemeya Halacha Zu. Whoever doesn't listen to this halacha I'm about to say, Yidaka Becherev will get pierced by the sword. Because Kach Mekablani Mebeis Din Shmuel Haramasi. This is a tradition I got from the courts of Shmuel Haramasi. That Amayni Blei Amaynis. This is a reference to Shmuel HaNavi that was from Ramos, that he said, Amoini is only the males and not the females, and Moyavi v'le Moavis, and therefore David Melech is no problem. Since Rus is a Moyavis, therefore she's allowed to join and marry into the Jewish people. Now, that the Gemara asked regarding that incident, Umi Mehemen, it was Yester believed to say this halacha? But V'amar, Rababa Amar Rav, he said that Kol Tamachachim Shemar Halacha Ba, any Talmudic scholar that's passing a shaila, that's coming to say a halacha, well, it depends. Im koyde ma'isa, if before the incident that's coming to the rabbis to ask the question, he had already taught his students in the Beis Medrash in the name of his teacher this halacha before this incident ever happened, well, then shaymali, then we listen to him at when the time of the incident happens. But vimla, but if not, if the first time we're hearing this halacha from him is at the time when an incident is happening, then ein shemale, then we don't listen to him, because maybe it's only due to the incident that's happening that he's saying it. In other words, he's making it up because he wants to protect. Like Taisa says, because there was some vested interest that Yester had that he didn't want to have, that this should be a problem if you're coming from my office. But either way, if this is how the story unfolded, how could he be believed if he's one person saying a psak halacha? That's not true that he's necessarily believed. So the Gemara answer, Shani Hacha here was different, the Harshmul Abiz Dinakaim. Because Shmuel and his Bezdin was still around. And therefore, as Rashi tells us, what's called Milsa David Ligluye, something that could be very easily found out. They could just go knock on the Bezdin of Shmuel Haramasi, a person's not going to lie about, and therefore he was believed. And that stopped the whole complaint from Doig about David HaMelech, that there was no problem about him marrying into the Jewish people, and he could even become king, as he ultimately did. Now, but the Gemara ends off this discussion by asking Kamakim Kasha. Daig had a good question that no one ever answered. Why isn't it that the women should have been penalized like the men did? Because the women should have gone to the women and brought the Jewish women bread and water, and they didn't. So the Gemara says that Hacher Targimu in Bavel, they interpreted based on the pasuk in Tehillim that says Kol Kavuda Bas Melech Panima. The entire glory of the daughter of the king is by staying indoor. And that is, women don't go out, even if it's for other women, they're not coming out in front of all the people, and therefore they weren't punished. But Marav Amri in Eretz Yisrael, they said a different version, Vitam, some say it was Rabbi Yitzchak that said, Amakra, there's a pasuk in Bereishit that says, Vayomru Elav, that the Malachim said to Avram, Aye Sara Ishtecha, where is Sara your wife, V'kayim, etc., where the pasuk says that Avram answered, Hine Ba'ayel, she's in the tent. In other words, it's not the norm for women to go out of their homes. Their honor, their glory is to be in the homes, and therefore, even if it was the women going to the women, that wasn't a punishment that they should have had. And therefore, it's only amoyni v'lay amoynis, mayavi v'lay mayavis. And therefore, as our Mishnah said, that the females converts of Mayav, which was Rosa Mayavi, are permitted to marry into the Jewish people right away.